From the international headquarters of the Christian Research Institute, this is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters. In this postmodern world, truth is under siege. In today's culture, those who see truth as relative, subjective, or pragmatic are seen as tolerant and enlightened. However, those who see truth as objective and grounded in Jesus Christ are seen as intolerant and irrelevant. Perhaps no quote better embodies the spirit of our age than that of our current president, Barack Obama, who has defined sin as being out of alignment with my values. Well, today is a rebroadcast of an earlier recorded show discussing a Christian Research Institute exclusive resource titled, What is Truth? And due to the significance of this issue and the impact it's having on the world, we feel compelled to share this information with you again so you are equipped to defend the truth of the gospel and stand firm in your faith. Stay tuned to find out more about this hardcover book and hear from some of our nation's top authors and speakers who have contributed to this resource, like Dr. Frank Beckwith and Sean McDowell. Here now is the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks, Randy. It will come as no surprise to even semi-alert observers that truth, as we have known it, is under siege. It's being assailed on multiple fronts by a seemingly endless barrage of isms: postmodernism, relativism, experientialism, hedonism, philosophical naturalism, to name just a few. And to many Christians, truth has apparently become less and less defensible, either because they perceive that truth has become so deconstructed that, like Humpty Dumpty, they don't know if they can put it back together again, or they believe, perhaps tacitly more than rationally, that objective truth exists, but they're simply bewildered and befuddled as how to defend their convictions and instincts. That's where the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal come in. In fact, it's where serious Christians like you can make a difference by knowing where you stand, by standing your ground, and by standing not in isolation, but standing together. As serious thinkers, we need to know how we know what we know. And that's no small matter. That means knowing where you stand, not on the shifting sands of cultural and intellectual fashion, not on the porous platitudes of politically correct secularists. Their only God is tolerance. Instead, we stand on the unshakable rock of revelation. What all Christians have to understand, today more than ever, while truth is under siege, is that God has not called us to sit for truth. He's called us to stand for truth. Let's not make a mistake. Truth is under siege. This isn't a time for indifference or ignorance. It's not a time for cowardice. It's a time for righteous revolutionaries, sanctified saboteurs, people willing to stand their ground because they've witnessed the deadly consequences when godless ideologies are not halted in their tracks. The 20th century is the prime example. In the 20th century, we've witnessed the deaths of millions of people. Think of Stalin's genocide, Mao's ruthless purges. They reveal the painful clarity that when truth dies, millions of lives are consumed in the wake. Ideas have consequences. As more and more of Western civilization moves precariously towards the brink of intolerance, we're seeing the slow and painful death of objective truth. And it's clear that we must not only know where we stand and stand our ground, but again, we have to stand together. For journal readers and other alert Christian friends, that means recognizing the assaults on truth before we can resist the assaults on truth. And recognizing that truth is under siege and that heresy advances as orthodoxy retreats, we have to make a difference in that milieu. So what do? You study. The Bible says you do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a workman that does not need to blush with embarrassment, rightly handling the word of truth. And then you pray to attempt to stand against today's assaults on truth without the power of prayer is sheer folly. And I'd like you to consider standing with the Christian Research Institute, whether it's through the journal, Bible Answer Man broadcast, the increasingly diverse, far-reaching, potent media channels in our arsenal for truth. It's all a labor of love to help you, Christians everywhere, to be equipped to stand for truth. Not timidly, reluctantly, but boldly and confidently. It means being able with passionate conviction and laser-like clarity to answer questions, withstand challenges. If you're not already a member of our support team, visit the web at www.equip.org and stand with us. Let us know you're standing with us prayerfully and financially. Because whether it's listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast or subscribing to the journal or purchasing life-changing resources from our online e-store or supporting CRI's work financially or with prayer, every enlistment for truth shifts the tide in the battle for truth. And that's why we've produced a little book as a way of saying thank you for standing with us in the battle for truth. It's appropriately called What is Truth? It's the best of the Christian Research Journal. And the authors that have written for this piece have done an incredible job over the years. Frank Beckwith, he's written an article for What is Truth? Titled Deconstructing Liberal Tolerance. We're going to talk about that in just a few moments, but right now, go to the phone and order What is Truth? It's small, it's easy to read, but the information is transformational. It's available on the World Wide Web at equip.org, through the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Well, Frank Beckwith is a professor of philosophy and church-state studies at Baylor University. He's also serving on the faculty of the University of Notre Dame in the Notre Dame Center for Ethics and Culture. And I first really began understanding his work when I read a book called Politically Correct Death. And I think that is an appropriate title for the theme of today's broadcast because we are now in the shocking aftermath of a murder that takes place in a church. It is the murder of a doctor. And Christians simply don't know how to think about this. We're befuddled. A lot of Christians are saying this doctor, George Tiller, murdered 60,000 preborn children. But is it ever right to take the law into your own hands? How do we think about this issue? What are we to do? How are we to care deeply about the lives of preborn children and at the same time change the world in a way that would make our Savior smile. We're going to talk about all of that on today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Joining me now, Frank Beckwith. Thank you for your contribution to What is Truth, Frank?
Well, you're welcome, Hank, and it was a pleasure to over the years to contribute to Christian Research Journal. And that article, I mean, to this day, deconstructing liberal tolerance, I still get email about it, and I'm delighted that you guys published it.
Well, let's start right there, Frank. What is liberal tolerance, and how do you deconstruct it?
Yeah, liberal tolerance is a way of looking at religious and moral claims in this way. I like to say it's a kind of bait and switch. That is, somebody tells you, as a Christian, they say, look, it's wrong for you to make judgments about the rightness or wrongness of other religions. But with the, and they say that that is what is the that's a tolerant way to think about these sorts of questions. The problem is, at that point, the proponent of liberal tolerance is suggesting the very thing that he or she says that you shouldn't do. Namely, they're saying to you that you're mistaken. Liberal tolerance sounds like a way for people to get along and to respect each other's views, which I think is in principle a very good thing. But what liberal tolerance in practice comes down to is a kind of orthodox relativism. That is, everyone can believe what they want as long as they don't think it's true, which, of course, is itself not really tolerance at all. It's a required view of the nature of truth, which is itself contested. So liberal tolerance, very briefly, is just simply the view that no one point of view is in fact correct, and that for that reason we should all be open to other people's points of view. But at the end of the day, that view itself cannot be challenged, which means that it's not really that tolerant after all.
Let me read to you a parody and have you comment. This is a parody by Robert George. He's a professor at Princeton. And he writes this parody. He says, I'm personally opposed to killing abortionists. However, in so much as my personal opposition to this practice is rooted in a sectarian Catholic religious belief in the sanctity of human life, I'm unwilling to impose it on others who may, as a matter of conscience, take a very different view. Of course, I'm entirely in favor of policies aimed at removing the root causes of violence against abortionists. Indeed, I'd go so far as to support mandatory one-week waiting periods and even non-judgmental counseling for people who are contemplating the choice of killing an abortionist. I believe in policies that reduce the urgent need some people feel to kill abortionists while at the same time respecting the rights of conscience of my fellow citizens who believe that the killing of abortionists is sometimes a tragic necessity, not a good, but a lesser evil. In short, I am moderately pro-choice.
Yeah, that what Robbie is doing in that letter is taking a dominant liberal point of view and relativizing it. That is, what's often said to pro-lifers, or let's say people that are against abortion. Let's say you're in a debate with somebody over the question of abortion. One response is typically, I'm personally opposed to abortion, but I wouldn't want to force my views on other people. And what Robbie is doing is pairing that by pointing out that the person, in fact, does believe there are certain things that are, in fact, absolutely wrong, and that when the person uses that type of reasoning against the pro-lifer, he or she doesn't understand or doesn't seem to understand what the pro-lifer really believes. The pro-lifer doesn't believe that abortion is just wrong for them. It's wrong for everybody. It reminds me of a bumper sticker I saw years ago that said, don't like abortion, don't have one. Imagine if somebody had a bumper sticker that said, don't like spousal abuse, don't beat one. People would say, wait a second, that person doesn't truly understand what it means to say that spousal abuse is wrong. And that's, Robbie is doing precisely the same thing there. He's taking a well-known pro-choice way of saying things and simply turning it on its head.
We're talking to Frank Beckwith. He is a professor Philosophy and Church-State Studies at Baylor University. We're going to continue our discussion with Frank on the other side of the break. I'm going to ask him how we respond to Frank Schaeffer, who was on MSNBC yesterday, has also been blogging, and says that he personally, as well as his father, Francis Schaeffer, are responsible for the death of George Tiller because of the hate-filled right-wing rhetoric that they used. We're going to talk to Frank about that and ask him, how do we sort all this out as Christians? How do we think about this? And how can we be razor sharp in making a difference as we stand in the battle for truth? Again, the book that we are offering for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute to keep this voice broadcasting around the country is titled What is Truth? The Best of the Christian Research Journal. It's available on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Don't you dare touch that dial.
To order What is Truth, the Best of the Christian Research Journal in hardcover, call 888-7000-CRI or online at our secure website at www.equip.org. Gutenberg rocked the medieval world with the invention of the printing press, and we're in the midst of a digital revolution for the Bible with Glow Bible Software. You'll experience the Bible as never before. Glow is the Bible for a digital generation, and now you can order Glow from CRI by going to our website at equip.org. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back with more of the show.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Avatar, the special effects extravaganza movie by James Cameron, has just recently become the number one box office blockbuster of all time. Clearly, this historic movie is resonating with tens of millions of people around the planet. However, it is not merely special effects entertainment. It is cult-like in its effect. In this issue, we examine the impact pagan worldviews such as the one portrayed in Avatar are having not only on our culture, but the entire world. You'll also find insightful articles on the attempt to explain faith and morality using neuroscience, animists viewed as model environmentalists, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
The clock is ticking on our fiscal year, which ends June 30th. We need to finish our year on budget. The challenge is obvious. In our present day, confusion, deception, and biblical ignorance are causing thousands of people to look for God in all the wrong places. But CRI is determined to cast a light of biblical truth. So if this outreach is important to you, or you have been equipped and edified by the daily teaching of the Bible Answer Man, we need your financial assistance so that we can finish our fiscal year on target. It's easy to get in touch with CRI. Simply call our toll-free number. It's 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also donate online at equip.org. And thank you in advance for your prayerful, generous support. is truth? This is the very question that Pontius Pilate asked Jesus. In the irony of the ages, Pilate stood toe-to-toe with the embodiment of truth and yet missed his reality. Postmodern people are in much the same position. They stare truth in the face but fail to recognize it. To equip you to show those around you that truth is real and objective and that Jesus Christ is truth, we have created What is Truth, the best of the Christian Research Journal. This resource includes the best articles from the Christian Research Journal concerning truth, a foreword and afterword by Hank Hanegraaff, and study questions. To order What is Truth, call our resource consultants toll-free at 888-7000-CRI or go to our website at equip.org. Also, If Truth and resources like What is Truth, the hundreds of research articles available for free on our website and the Bible Answer Man broadcast are important to you, we need your help. Our fiscal year end is tomorrow, and we want to expand all of our available resources in this next year for your equipping, but we can only do that through your prayerful and financial support. If you're a regular supporter, we thank you for your continued commitment and ask you to consider giving a special one-time gift above your regular commitment to help us start this next year strong. And if you've never supported the Christian Research Institute but have reaped the benefits of our research articles, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and countless other resources, please consider supporting the ongoing work to bring you much more of what you've already received. You can do so safely and securely online at equip.org, or our resource consultants are happy to assist you when you call 888-7000-CRI. That translates to 888-7000-274. And as always, you can write to us at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. And thank you for your generous support. Now, back to the Bible Answer Man and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
It has been well said, truth is so obscure in these times and falsehood so established that unless we love the truth, we cannot know it. Internet lies today travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on. And we are in a situation where we must stand for truth. And it means understanding the issues and being able to give laser sharp answers with gentleness and with respect. I was watching television last night in the aftermath of the death of George Tiller, and I saw Frank Schaefer on MSNBC, and he was apologizing for his late father, Francis Schaefer, and he says that he and his father shared the blame for the murder of Dr. George Tiller. And he said he has repented of his former hate-filled rhetoric. He said that his words with respect to abortion, saying that abortion is murder, ultimately caused him to have blood on his hands, and the only way he could absolve himself is to say, "I am sorry. I renounce having said that." And that, of course, raises the question, how are we to think as Christians about the murder of George Tiller, who's allegedly taken the lives of 60,000 preborn children? Answering that question on the line, Frank Beckwith. He is a professor of philosophy and church-state studies at Baylor University. He's also serving on the faculty of the University of Notre Dame. And he is a guy that's thought about this a lot. And I want you, Frank, then to help us think about this. How are we to think about this kind of a murder? Are we ever permitted to take the law into our own hands?
Well, no, I don't think we ever are. Now, I want to say something, though, about what Frank Schaefer said. You know, the one thing that's interesting is that for most of us who repent, we usually don't have a camera in front of us on MSNBC to record it all. I mean, there's something I think dishonorable and despicable about a man talking about his father after the man had been dead for 25 years and blaming him for a contemporary event. I find that just to be mind-boggling. Frank Schaeffer, I think, overrates his own influence. The evangelical movement embracing the pro-life position had very little to do with Frank or Francis Schaeffer. It had to do with Harold O.J. Brown in a book called Life, Death Before Birth, and the Creation of the Christian Action Council. Frankie Schaeffer apparently is sort of like the Forrest Gump of evangelicalism. He's everywhere where anything's happened, ever. And so I'm just amazed at that. But I guess today you can pretty much say anything.
And he has.
Yeah, I'm absolutely shocked by that. And he is right, though. He was always angry, and apparently he hasn't changed much. But in any event, let me talk about this issue of Dr. Tiller. A couple of things that we have to remember. The presently in the United States, the law permits abortion. Dr. Tiller was and is a human being made in the image of God, and nobody has the right to take his life as a private citizen. I mean, if there's something that we've seen not only in Scripture but throughout Christian history, in fact, I was just talking to a friend this morning about this, and I asked him, can you find me anybody in the early church when the church was undergoing martyrdom where anyone suggested the assassination of Caesar? And this fellow, who's a church historian, said, no, it wouldn't even cross their minds. But in this case, you have a physician who's a private citizen, and this fellow who walked into a church, a private citizen, taking literally the law into his own hands, as a judge, jury, and executioner. This is, as some moral theologians would put it, an intrinsically evil act. Does that mean that Dr. Tiller was a good person? Absolutely not. The abortions that he engaged in were, in fact, unjustified homicide. However, it's not the role of private citizens to be judge, jury, and executioner. That is the role of the state, and it should never be the role of the church.
Frank, you just used the moniker unjustified homicide, and I certainly don't want to relate that to these other words that I'm going to use, but
sure.
We're hearing in the media now from Frank Schaeffer and others that there is a real danger in using any kind of inflammatory rhetoric, whether it's unjustified homicide or murder. If you apply that to abortion, that in itself is hate speech, and that could cause killing. It could cause someone to be incited and therefore act in a way that allegedly this murder took place. How do we draw the line, and what do we do about the speech that we use as Christians? How do we temper our speech so it's done poignantly, but yet with gentleness and with respect?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Hank. Now, one of the rules that I have for myself on this matter, and I think unjustified homicide, I use that phrase because I don't think it does carry the emotional baggage of, let's say, the word murder, because actually murder technically means an unlawful killing, and right now it is actually legal to have abortions. You could say that in a moral sense, murder is also the unjustified, intentional killing of another human being. But I like unjustified homicide because I suspect that in many cases, abortions are in fact engaged in by women who don't fully grasp what they're doing. So I don't want to impugn the motive or intent of somebody who may not have a bad intent.
Hmm.
But the act itself is still wrong, clearly, and it is a grievous act. I do think as Christians we have a responsibility to be respectful and gracious and at the same time uncompromising. Now, having said that, though, I think that most Christians are in fact like that. I think that Frank Schaeffer in many ways has bought into an understanding of his own people that's defamatory. That is, you know, when somebody tells me that Christians are such and such, I usually just reflect on my own experience, and I say, no, they're not. Those aren't the people I go to church with. Those aren't the people that that I know in different venues in my life. Now, do Christians, in fact, behave stupidly sometimes? Absolutely. But the reality is most Christians, a vast majority of them, want to live good lives, want to be good witnesses, and they want to offer reasons in a careful way. Are we all good at it? Absolutely not. Some of us just can't give a reason very well. Others can. But this is what I would suggest to my secular friends, is that they extend to us the tolerance and empathy that they suggest we offer to other people. That is, give us the benefit of the doubt, just like you expect us to give you the benefit of the doubt. And I think at some point, we have to stand up as Christians and say, no, this is a caricature of who we really are. You take a few nuts on the fringe and you say we're all like that? That's nonsense. We could do that with every movement in the history of this country. There are people in the anti-slavery movement who were crazy. There were anti-war activists who were lunatics. That's just the nature of politics. And to use that to intimidate us to be quiet or silent is, at the end of the day, undemocratic and, I think, insulting to most pro-lifers.
Talk about the danger in using rhetoric like God hates fags or Tiller the baby killer, or even saying something like Obama is the Antichrist.
Well, that I think a couple of problems with that. One, it's simply, first off, it's not true. Each one of obviously is different. Was Dr. Tiller, somebody who in fact killed human beings? Absolutely, he was. Does that advance the pro-life cause by using that kind of language? It does not advance the cause. In fact, it also does something that I think is bad, and that is it may very well not truly appreciate the inner life of Dr. Tiller. It may very well be that he sincerely believes he's doing the right thing. Now, obviously, I think what he did was wrong, but we have to remember that just because people happen to hold a different view than we do, it doesn't mean that they hold it maliciously or for motives that are ill will. I mean, I disagree with the president on a number of issues. I think he's wrong on them, but you know, I have no reason to believe that he's got wicked or bad motives. I mean, that's just and even if I believed he did, I would accomplish nothing if I announced them all the time. How would that advance my case? It wouldn't. So I think at the end of the day, what we have to do, especially the issue of the one God hates fags, that is particularly despicable for a variety of reasons, but most of which is that human beings that have homosexual orientation are people made in the image of God, and we're required to love them. And that is not the only sexual sin that people struggle with. They struggle with a variety of them. We don't single those out for those sorts of insults. So we have to be very careful, but that doesn't mean we compromise the truth.
Talking to Frank Beckwith, he's a professor of philosophy and church-state studies at Baylor University. More to the point, he has contributed to What is Truth, the Best of the Christian Research Journal. It's a hardback book. It is available right now for your gift of any size to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We want to put it into your hands in the battle for truth. You can order online at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. Want to continue my discussion with Frank Beckwith by getting directly into his article on the other side of the break. It sounds complicated, but there's a simple truth here. Deconstructing liberal tolerance. We will cash that out for you on the other side of the break. More with Frank Beckwith. You don't want to miss it. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
To order What is Truth, the Best of the Christian Research Journal in hardcover as an exclusive CRI resource with contributions by Hank Hanegraaff, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or online at our secure website anytime at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't touch that dial. Hank will return with more of the program right after this. It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus and Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition.
Investors are concerned that there's more bad news.
Calling for an end to U.S. military operations.
The world is glued to the news headlines, anxiously awaiting what the future holds. So it's up to believers in Christ to be prepared to give well-reasoned answers about what lies ahead, based on sound Bible doctrine. That's why The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff is such a vital resource for your library. It covers today's most asked prophecy questions and reveals why answering them correctly matters so much in today's world. The Apocalypse Code will resolve many questions regarding the mysteries of the end times and help you give an informed answer for the hope that is in you. All you really need to know about understanding Revelation is what the rest of the Bible says. So order your copy of The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or look online at equip.org.
Do you use software programs to prepare your taxes, store and display photos, or create music playlists? Have you considered software for your Bible? GLOW is an interactive Bible resource that allows users to explore and experience the Bible in a whole new way. Imagine studying the timeline of Jesus' ministry, following Paul's journeys on interactive maps, touring the Holy Land, reading articles on marriage, money, and work, and creating your own Bible reading plan, all from one software program. You'll experience the Bible in a whole new way with GLOW, a Bible for the digital world, complete with over 2,000 high-resolution photos, 7,000 articles, 460 virtual reality tours, 147 maps, and timelines. You can order your copy of GLOW today online at equip.org or by calling the Christian Research Institute toll-free at 1-888-7000-CRI. Some are surprised to learn that truth is an aspect of the nature of God Himself. Thus, to put on truth is to put on Christ. For Christ is truth, John 14:6, and Christians are to be the bearers of truth. As Oz Guinness explains, Christianity is not true because it works, pragmatism. It is not true because it feels right, subjectivism. It is not true because it is my truth, relativism. It is true because it is anchored in the person of Jesus Christ. Be inspired further by truth and our exclusive CRI resource compiled by Hank Hanegraaff called What is Truth? The Best of the Christian Research Journal. To order for your gift to CRI, call 888-7000-274. Or better yet, go online to www.equip.org. The clock is ticking on our fiscal year, which ends June 30th. We need to finish our year on budget. No other live daily broadcast proclaims truth, corrects error, and tackles the hottest Bible questions on a daily basis like the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Every time I'm able to catch the Answer Man, I hone right in on it. Every single time I walk away with a new concept, a new idea, something that I can chew on that's relevant.
I was calling to comment about your newest Christianity and Crisis. I read the first book that came out, and it literally saved my life.
I suppose words are inadequate to express my appreciation for the truth and the teachings that come from the Bible Answer Man, the Christian Research Institute, and the Christian Research Journal.
So if this outreach is important to you, or you have been equipped and edified by the daily teaching of the Bible Answer Man, we need your financial assistance so that we can finish our fiscal year on target.
It's easy to get in touch with CRI. Simply call our toll-free number. It's 888-7000-CRI. We're also on the internet at www.equip.org. Now let's get back to the Bible Answer Man. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Talking to Frank Beckwith, he is a professor of philosophy and church-state studies at Baylor University. He's also serving on the faculty of the University of Notre Dame in Notre Dame's Center for Ethics and Culture. He's a terrific writer, a contributor to the Christian Research Journal, and has written an article for the journal, which is part of What is Truth, the Best of the Christian Research Journal, the book that I've been talking about throughout the broadcast. And in the article, Frank does this. He talks about Ellen DeGeneres and her acceptance speech for an Emmy for co-writing the coming out episode of Ellen. And she says, I accept this Emmy on behalf of all people and the teenagers out there, especially who think there is something wrong with them because they're gay. There's nothing wrong with you. Don't ever let anyone make you feel ashamed of who you are. Now, that sounds great, and it certainly sounds tolerant and progressive, but Frank says it's an example of what I call passive-aggressive tyranny. How so, Frank?
Well, because if you look at it from the perspective of those who oppose homosexual acts, that is, people who think it's immoral, the implication of what Ellen is saying is that there's something wrong with you. In fact, one of the things I say in the essay, I take her speech and I turn it around and say essentially, imagine if an Emmy Award winner held traditional conservative views were to accept such an award and say something like, I accept this on behalf of all those who hold to traditional views of marriage and human sexuality. Don't let anyone, especially Hollywood scriptwriters, tell you otherwise. There's nothing wrong with you. If that were said, people would clearly understand that the person is affirming something that person believes is true about human sexuality and that somebody who disagrees is wrong. Now, I have no problem with Ellen or anybody else offering their arguments in the public square for what they think is the correct view, but their view is a view. And I think one of the key aspects of liberal tolerance is this portrayal as if it's not really a view, that it's kind of a neutral point of view that permits people to do and say whatever they want. Of course, it really isn't, because what Ellen said was essentially not only that people that have homosexual desires are in fact having good desires, the implication is that if you disagree with that, you're wrong. And that's certainly not a neutral or even a position that's not taking a position. It's, in fact, a view.
Yeah, cash that out a little more, Frank. I mean, you have these people that are intolerant and narrow-minded, but yet they are operating under the rubric of tolerance and being open-minded.
Well, the one I like to use is the person that says let's say you're sharing the gospel with somebody, and the person says, oh, you're intolerant because you think I'm wrong and you're right. Now, of course, the first thing that should come to mind is this. Do you think I'm wrong in thinking that way? And if the person says yes, then they're in precisely the same position as you. That is, they think you're right. They think you're wrong and they're right. The person that says to the Christian, you have no right to believe that you're right, is in fact engaging in what I call liberal tolerance evangelism. That is, the person is saying to the Christian, abandon your view of Christian exclusivity because my view of religious truth is the exclusively correct one. So it turns out that both views, in a sense, make claims about the world and about knowledge. But the person who engages in liberal tolerance makes it sound as if they're not doing that.
Let's go to the phone lines, take a call for Frank. Chase listening in Bakersfield, California on KERI. Hi, Chase.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I was asking, because this topic of truth, my dad isn't a Christian, And a lot of times it's kind of a problem as far as, you know, creating problems with the family. And he points to all the hypocrisies, and he actually grew up in the Roman Catholic Church, but they asked him to give his money when he was really poor. And basically he just says, since there's all these other faiths and what have you, how can there be like an absolute truth, and how do I know? And I was just wondering what you would say to that type of situation.
What about that, Frank? How can you respond to someone who says there's no absolute truth, particularly if it's your father?
Sure. Couple of things. The fact that he cites hypocrisy as a character flaw in people means that he, in fact, believes that one ought not to be a hypocrite. And that sounds a lot like an absolute truth. That is, when somebody says that people ought not to behave in a certain way, they're saying something about human nature. They're saying that human beings have a certain end or purpose that they ought to fulfill, a certain good. And this is why, for example, the passage where Jesus is confronted by the rich young ruler who asked him about what could I do to be saved, and he says, well, obey all the commandments. And then finally Jesus, when he says, I've done all that, Jesus says, well, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And the guy walks away sheepishly. I mean, there's a sense in which Jesus understood something about that guy's inner life that said, in order for you to be to follow me, you have to pick up a certain cross. And in a weird way, when your father says that there are hypocrites out there, and that's a reason why he ought not to follow Christ, at the end of the day, that's probably a really good reason to follow Christ. We want a world in which there are people who follow Christ in a true and good sense. So I would use the hypocrisy charge in favor of Christianity. That is, it speaks to the fact that your father has the right intuitions, that people ought to live well.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's sometimes difficult, Chase, to do it with your dad. And, you know, we've said this many times, Frank, prayer is firing the winning shot. Sometimes you have to testify, particularly with close loved ones, the testimony of your love, the testimony of your life, and hope that opens the door for the testimony of your lips. But more often than not, it's someone outside of your family circle that has the greatest impact.
That's right. I can think of a couple of situations in my own experience, in my own family, even among friends, where people that I was very close to and I spoke to about Christianity, they would just sort of dismiss me, and then years later I'd get a call or an email saying, oh, you know, what you said was right. I should have listened to you. Well, it probably is the case with your father as well.
Hey, Frank, thank you so much for your contribution to the broadcast today, your contribution to the Christian Research Journal, and the work you're doing at Baylor and Notre Dame and vicariously at other places around the world. Your impact is being felt.
Oh, thank you so much, Hank, and I appreciate what you're doing and for including my essay in that book. It's an honor.
God bless you, my friend.
Thank you.
And, of course, the book that Frank just alluded to is titled What is Truth? It's the best of the Christian Research Journal. Make no mistake about it, truth is under siege by an alluring postmodern phantom. This enemy of truth abandons the former battle tactics of modernism by seducing the soul with the sweet poison of relativism, luring people into thinking everyone's story about ultimate reality is true, and vilifying anyone who dares to challenge that notion by saying that truth and error, right and wrong, light and darkness are realities. This has been compiled. It's exclusive. It's a resource from the Christian Research Institute meant to equip you to deliver a decisive blow against the foe that is seeking to destroy truth. And you, as a Christian, a Christian, one who takes the sacred name of Christ upon his or her lips, is one who is called to know what truth is. It's critical. When we live in a time of postmodernism and relativism and hedonism and philosophical naturalism, to know what truth is, to be able to communicate it with power and passion, We put these resources together for you, not just as a way to get you to give. We need you to give. I mean, that goes without saying. Without you, we don't stay on the air. But it's also something that empowers and emboldens you to stand in a milieu in which people are asking for answers, and oftentimes we are incoherent or patently incorrect. When people talk about George Tiller and his death, it is critical that you have the right answer. This little book, What is Truth? The Best of the Christian Research Journal, will go a long way towards equipping you to do just that. And again, it's available for a gift to the ministry. You can order on the World Wide Web at equip.org, via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. We're out of here for today. Monday through Friday, however, your question answered on air by simply dialing 888-ASK-HANK. So long for now.
We'd like to thank scholar and author Dr. Frank Beckwith for being Hank's guest today. His excellent work on truth is included in the What is Truth resource. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow for day two of our What is Truth? The Best of the Christian Research Journal program. The Christian Research Journal is an award-winning magazine that has been published by the Christian Research Institute for over two decades. Hank Hanegraaff has taken the very best articles in the journal on the topic of truth and published them in a book, What is Truth? This equipping resource includes a foreword and afterword by Hank, along with study questions. To receive the best of the best from the journal, now in a hardcover book, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to us at CRI, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. Did you know that you can hear the Bible Answer Man daily, or the best of the Bible Answer Man every weekend, on XM Satellite Radio Channel 170, or take in the broadcast online through our website at www.equip.org? Further, you can also listen to past shows, which are archived for your easy access. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. We live in arguably the greatest civilization in the history of the world, and yet we could be looking at its very demise. Four horsemen of this modern-day apocalypse bring plagues that could mean the fall of this civilization. Hank Hanegraaff describes how each of these horsemen could bring down the very society in which we live, and how we as Christians must live in the midst of this 21st century apocalypse in his special message titled, The Four Horsemen of the 21st Century Apocalypse. To equip yourself to live as a change agent for Christ in the culture rather than conforming to it, order your copy of Hank's latest message now on DVD or CD when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The clock is ticking on our fiscal year, which ends June 30th. We need to finish our year on budget. The challenge is obvious. In our present day, confusion, deception, and biblical ignorance are causing thousands of people to look for God in all the wrong places. But CRI is determined to cast a light of biblical truth. So if this outreach is important to you, or you have been equipped and edified by the daily teaching of the Bible Answer Man, we need your financial assistance so that we can finish our fiscal year on target. It's easy to get in touch with CRI. Simply call our toll-free number. It's 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also donate online at equip.org. And thank you in advance for your prayerful, generous support.